Reading is Luke, the 19th chapter, first 10 verses. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacharias, who was the chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacharias, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacharias stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I gave half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost.
Good morning. So, how is your vision? I think I mentioned a few Sunday evenings ago that I started wearing glasses when I was in the second grade. I was in the red reading group and all my friends were in the blue reading group. So somehow, someone, a teacher or a parent, I don't know, but we got me some glasses. I made it to the blue reading group. So proud to do that. Wearing glasses for so long has kept the topic of eyesight right in front of me my whole life. And I wonder sometimes if we're all seeing the exact same things, especially when it comes to colors. When I see the color blue, is that the same color that you're really seeing? Or are you seeing orange, what I would call orange? It's interesting, all those things. Sometimes I wish I could see through someone else's eyes. What would we think if we could experience life through someone else's eyes, experience it through someone else's thoughts for a little while? What would be revealed about me if someone could see through my eyes for a day? In the sermon starter in the bulletin this morning, there was a little matching game with several eyesight problems. You may have been familiar with some of those, I don't know. I bet nobody in the room was familiar with number 5, though. But it might be the only one everyone would get correct. It's kind of weird that way. I don't see like Jesus did, Opia. Okay, I made that one up, yes. It's when we don't see things like Jesus. When we don't see like Jesus. I think one of the most useful things we can do as Christians today is try to see the world through the eyes of Christ. Jesus didn't have a vision problem. He didn't just look at people and see them for what they were. He would look at them and see them and not ignore them like we sometimes do. He didn't pass them by. He wasn't too busy for them. I bet if we went through your life and we went through Scripture and compared, I bet you would see some of the same people that Jesus sees. Jesus sees that person that's sitting in the cafeteria alone there at school. Jesus sees that person that you meet on the sidewalk sometimes. They have tears in their eyes, and what do? You kind of look the other way, don't you? Like you didn't notice. The person Jesus sees is that checker at Walmart with, you know, the tattoos and piercings sometimes. We see those people too, but we don't always see them like Jesus sees them. He looks at them and sees something different. When Jesus looks at someone, he doesn't see a second-class person like we do sometimes. He doesn't see an addiction as something that disqualifies somebody from needing attention, from needing love. When Jesus looks, he doesn't see people as sin like we do sometimes. He sees a person there. He sees a person that needs salvation. He doesn't see a lost cause like we do with our eyes sometimes. With Jesus, there are no lost causes. With the help of Jesus, everyone, there is hope for everyone to change, no matter what's going on in life. When you start paying attention, close attention in the Bible, you begin to notice the number of times that Scripture points out that Jesus saw something. In Luke 13, he saw a woman there with a spirit that made her disabled. In John 5, 6, he sees an invalid laying there at the pool of Siloam. In John 11, 35, he saw Mary weeping at the death of Lazarus. In Mark 10, 31, he saw that rich young ruler. The Bible points it out. Jesus saw him. And then the Bible says he felt a love for him, a compassion for him. He didn't just see this rich young ruler and write him off. He'll never change. He saw something else there. He felt compassion and love. Think about the scripture reading for just a moment. If you still have it, it's Luke 19. I want you to look here and listen as we read and notice what Jesus is seeing. In Luke 19, verse 1, he entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Notice verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they all saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Have you ever seen somebody that was famous, a celebrity? What lengths did you go to see that person? We hear of people all the time doing crazy things to meet celebrities, to see the famous people. They sneak backstage at the concert, right? They pretend to be a waiter in a restaurant just so they can get close to the famous person. They make fake signs at the airport like there's some kind of car service to drive that famous person. They act as if they're a cousin of that person. Sometimes they climb trees to get into balconies, to get into hotel rooms. Zacchaeus climbs a tree, doesn't he? Zacchaeus worked hard to see Jesus. That may not be as crazy by some of the things today we do today, today's standards, but in this story, he did more than just climb a tree. In this story, we see a man doing everything he can to see this famous person. Before we get too far, think about the scene that's going on there in Jericho. This is right before Jesus goes into Jerusalem, making that entry on a colt that we've been talking about on Sunday evening. This is right about the time Jesus would have healed blind Bartimaeus, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Imagine all the people that were there following Jesus. There must have been tons of people there at Jericho lining the streets. All the noise. Think about all the, maybe somebody's trying to touch his clothes like that woman did, had the blood disorder. people trying to get this person, come to my house, heal my daughter. All the noise that's going on, people screaming and yelling at each other. All these things to see this person, this famous person. But what did the famous person do? When Jesus came to the place, he looked up. Look at what Jesus does. We talk all the time about Zacchaeus working hard to see Jesus, but when I read this, it seems to me as if it wasn't just Zacchaeus looking. Jesus was looking. When Jesus came to the place, some versions say the spot. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up. Jesus, the famous person, wants to see Zacchaeus, the little guy. One of the keys to seeing people the way Jesus did is to see them for exactly what they are. Or where they are, sorry. Where are the people that need Christ? Think about that just a minute. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. They work with you. They play with you. They may even live in your own household. But we don't always see them because we're not always looking. One of the things we have to do is be willing to go to them. Jesus met Zacchaeus where? Where did it say? Met him at the spot, the place. When Jesus came to the place, that place, that's where we need to be to meet people. That place, it's where God's grace meets the sinner. God's grace meets sin. That spot. It's where we need to find that place where we can see someone. We can see the pain that they're in. We can see the things that they're enduring in their lives. And the things that they're using to try and remedy that. They're using these earthly things. But we can show them an alternative, can't we? We have an alternative. We can show them Christ. We need to look for those people because that's what Jesus did. Yes, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but Jesus is really the one doing the seeking. When we think about spreading the gospel, talking to people, we must be thinking about that spot or that place. There's a spot tonight with our youth and college students as they enjoy fellowship tonight. They watch the Super Bowl together and they have some worship time together. I hope that they, during those hours that they're there, I hope they're looking for a spot. I hope that they're looking for a place to share the love of God with someone. I hope that they're constantly thinking about that. Thinking about that spot where they can turn to that person next to them and give them a little bit of God's love, a little bit of God's grace. They have to be looking for that tonight. And we do too. We have to look for that constantly. Think about the parables. Good soil, it doesn't just jump on the seed, does it? Lost coins, they don't find themselves. Lost sheep, they don't suddenly find their way home, do they? Disciples of Christ, they don't just make themselves. Those things are not common occurrences. We have to be the ones casting out the lines, fishing. We have to be planting seeds. We have to be sweeping up our own house, searching for those that may be lost. And then we find them, we have to be willing to interact with them, don't we? We have to find some way to interact. And that's what Jesus did here. Read verse 5 again. He looked up and said, he interacted with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today I must stay at your house. Let me ask you for a moment. What if you are that crazy person trying to do everything they can do to see the celebrity? What if you're the one sneaking backstage at the concert? What if you're the one pretending to be a waiter? What if you're the one climbing through the ceiling of the green room to see the famous person? What if you pulled up that ceiling tile, stuck your head down there, and you saw that famous person and they looked up at you and said, hey, come down here. Let's go to your house. How would that make you feel? How would you react to that? Would you do the same thing Zacchaeus did? In verse 6, it says he hurried down. Hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Dude, let's go. I love it. What a great feeling that was for him. The person he had worked so hard to see, to just get a glimpse of, wants to go to his house. Imagine the celebration. Come down. We're going to have a party at your house. That's what they did. Went and had a party. Imagine the jealousy that would go on. The people around you. That's what happened in Jericho, wasn't it? Jesus ends up at the house eating with Zacchaeus and other lost souls. And what did the crowd do? They didn't like it. When they saw it, they all begin to grumble. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner. That man's a sinner. The people grumbled. They had the exact opposite reaction of Zacchaeus. Their reaction was one that comes from a bitter soul. A sad soul, a bitter heart. They had a reaction that sometimes comes from jealousy, doesn't it? Can you just hear him spitting out those words? That man who is a sinner. They didn't see the same thing Jesus saw. When Jesus saw Zacchaeus, he saw something different. Compare what Jesus saw to what the crowd saw for just a moment. They looked at Zacchaeus and what did they see? They saw a sinner, right? They saw a person that robs the people. They saw an authority figure that's taking money from them with the back of the Roman government. He collects taxes, stole from the people, would keep some for himself and send the rest to Rome. Jesus saw something different though. It seems as if Jesus looks and he sees potential in Zacchaeus. He saw Zacchaeus not for what he was right there at that moment, but he saw Zacchaeus for what he could become with some help. Jesus saw a lost man who needed to be met at a certain place, a spot. That spot. He saw a man that needed to meet God's grace. I think we can look at his reaction and his response to Jesus. At some point, Zacchaeus was finally able to see himself as something different. Zacchaeus ended up seeing some things that needed to change. He saw his own life and something as something that needed to now be adjusted. I've met Jesus, my life needs to be adjusted now. I need to change in some ways. It needs to be perfected in some way. Verse 8 there in your Bibles, it says, and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded one of anything, I'll restore it fourfold. Does that sound like a changed man? Absolutely. Was he a man desperate to see what all the fuss was about? He was a man that saw Jesus as Lord. And he responded to him. In one way, he responded as a servant, didn't he? A follower. A disciple. I'm now going to do what Jesus wants me to do. He responded by repairing the damage that had been done. The damage that he. He responded by doing good. Let me think for a minute. What do you see when you look at people? Do you look at people Man, do you see them for who they are right at that moment? And decide automatically that's all that person will ever be? Or do you see something different? Do you see potential in someone? Sometimes label people by their sin, don't we? He's a don't to her, she's a liar. He's a druggie. I'm thankful to God that Jesus, man, I'm not labeled by my sin. I'm glad Jesus doesn't look down and label me that. The labels that we carry are something different. I hope at some point we can have a series of short series of lessons on some of these. But if you look, Ephesians 1:4 tells me that I've been chosen. Even before the foundation of the world, I was chosen to be holy and to be blameless. Ephesians 2:10 talks about we are God's workmanship. That's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:17 talks about the fact that we are free. We've talked about that last fall. In Christ, I am free. Sermon on the Mount says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. 1 John 5:5 tells me I'm an overcomer. If I believe Jesus is the Son of God, you can overcome. Read Revelation 2 and 3. Christ's words there. To the overcomers, they'll have this and this. Look in those letters to the seven churches. See what an overcomer will have. John 3:16, I am loved. God so loved the world, I am loved. More on that next week, I hope. But at some point, I hope we can go through a series of lessons about some of these. But as God looks at me today, as He looks at you, He doesn't just see sin. He sees you for what you can become. He sees you for your potential, what you can turn into. When we look at people, if we're going to use the eyes of Christ, we must not see black clothes and piercings as some kind of obstacle. We can't look at a person and look at how they're dressed and think of them as a second-class citizen. We can't see a person that has an addiction. We can't see that as a lost cause. Because there are no lost causes through the eyes of Christ. In 2008, Brandon Heath released a song called Give Me Your Eyes. The song was written by he and one of his friends. They were sharing a conversation over Chinese food about seeing things through God's perspective. And he wrote this song. These are the chorus to that song. It says, give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, ones that are far beyond my reach. It says, give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so that I can see. What a wonderful prayer that would be to pray. What a worthy goal as we seek to be Christ-like. See things as Christ. Be Christ-like in that manner as well. One of the things I want to encourage you to do this morning is to walk out of this room and see the world like Jesus. Don't let your biases or your prejudices, don't let those cloud your thoughts. Look for lost people and go to them with God's love and mercy and His forgiveness. Show them the love that God has shown you. Use His eyes to see that hurting and see that pain. Do something about it. I also want to encourage you to see yourself through the eyes of Christ. Maybe you look at yourself and you see a lost cause. Maybe you look at yourself sometimes and all you see is sin. I can ask you to consider seeing yourself like Jesus does. Jesus looks at you and he sees someone that he loves. He sees potential there. He sees someone that he gave his very life for. He did that to meet you at that place, that spot where God's grace is. That spot is here. This morning, come and meet the grace of God. Jesus is looking at us now, wanting us to respond to that love that he's shown for us. And each of us needs to respond in some way. The best way to respond is to make a commitment to follow Christ. That means becoming a baptized believer and committing yourself to being a disciple, a follower, a lifelong learner. Baptism, it's an end of a sinful life, but it's the beginning of a new walk. Christ's blood now cleanses you from sin. If you need prayers this morning for this congregation, we would love to pray for you as well. We can be of any help this morning at all. We ask that you come as we stand and sing this song.